Good to see you today. Hadn't the weather been great? And glad to have the rest of the Rockwell family with us. They always make this annual pilgrimage and get jealous over the weather down here at this time of year. Not the summertime. But great time at camp yesterday. Just wonderful. It, you know, went off almost without a hitch. I hadn't told you this. We had 26 children that made first-time profession of faith yesterday in the Lord. That was a great, great, great time. If you have your Bible today, if you'll turn with me to the third chapter of Luke, and we're going to work through some verses today, John's not going to be showing anything on the screen to you. And by the way, wasn't it wonderful to see how the Lord just performed a miracle on the grammar in one of those songs today? It's wonderful to see that happen. And I say that today because we are going to be talking about miracles and to see if you're paying attention too. Third chapter, verse 21, but let's pray first. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your blessings. God, for all that we saw you do, the great time we had, the great joy that was at Grace Stadium, Lord. I know a lot of events take place there, Lord, but Lord, I don't know any more joyous occasion than the annual baseball camp, and yesterday was no exception. Lord, you showed up, you showed out, you showed yourself again and again through a cup of water, through instruction. All the volunteers, I want to thank you for them, for the blessing that they are. The people that come from great distances to be a part of this, Lord, I pray your blessing on everybody here. Lord, we've got all kinds of folks that have come into town for this. And we bless you and thank you for all that you're doing. We give you this time today, Lord, as we look into your word, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've even got people from as far away as down in Florida. Well, there's one right there, an old worn-out pitcher that came. Jason and Nikki come up, and they're blessing too. That's right, he's an old worn-out pitcher. You look at him today. But he's a great dad and husband, which is his calling today. All right. Are you there with me? 321. Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven that said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And thus begins the public ministry of Jesus. Now, what's his next appointment? His next appointment is with the evil one. You have that from 23 down to 38, talks about the genealogy. We'll talk about genealogies another day. They're not unimportant. These genealogies are very important because it verifies the veracity of God's word. He shows that when he says something, he means it. And we get into chapter 4, it talks about the temptation of Jesus. Let's read this together. Now Jesus, verse 1, chapter 4, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. So now he's got an appointment. This was the appointment of the Father that he would go out into the desert and meet the evil one. For 40 days, they're being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when it had ended, he became hungry. And here comes the evil one. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." There was his fleshly temptation. He led him up and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I'll give you all this domain and its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There is a challenge, a temptation from the devil. And he led him to Jerusalem, and he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And there's this temptation from the world system. So right there, bang, right out the starting gate. And we say it all the time. I want you to see it in context today. That we are struggling against the world, the flesh, and the devil on a regular basis. And here's Jesus showing, modeling to us what needs to be done. And in each case, he was depending upon the Father, and he was going back to the Word and quoting the Word of God to the devil and standing in the truth of the Word. Verse 13 says this, and when the devil had finished every temptation, key there, every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. So he leaves him. But what does that imply? He's coming back. He's going to come back at him again. And again, Jesus modeling for us our lives. Now, today's message, I'm working through this. This is not a normal sermon today, okay? So I want you to just hang with me and follow me today with this as we work through what Jesus did. This is at the beginning of his ministry. As he's modeling for us what his ministry is going to be about and what ours should be about. Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Here we see again, you know, the Spirit comes upon him in power. That public anointing that takes place. There it is, baptism. As we celebrate that in baptism, that's one of the things that as we celebrate in baptism, water baptism for folks is the power of God. We're immersed in the Lord. We become immersed in the Spirit of God. And it is an outward picture of our salvation. It is an outward picture of the affirmation of the Father on our lives. And it is an affirmation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God in us. So he returns to Galilee, he's empowered by the Spirit, and news about him spreads all around the district. Verse 15, he began teaching in their synagogues, and he was praised by all. Everybody liked him. And he came to Nazareth. What is said of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, Jesus broke that up, didn't he? You know, Scripture says, people point that out all the time and says, well, you know, Scripture, you're talking about Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem, but Scripture says he would come up out of Egypt and he would be called a Nazarene. How can that all be true? Yes, he was born in Egypt. The Lord took him down, Joseph took him down into Egypt. When Herod died, he brought him back. So he came out of Egypt, and where did he set up shop? In Nazareth as his public ministry. So there it is, a fulfillment here in our smarty pants as we look at the Word of God. Hey, folks are still trying to disprove this Word, who have devoted their lives to disproving the Word of God, and here it is shown again that it is true. Every dot and tittle. So he comes to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, as was his custom. And he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Here's their custom. You stand up to read, you sit down to teach. Look at what happens. The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. The scroll rolls it out. Goes to Isaiah 61. He opens the book, the scroll. And he found the place where it is written. Hear this now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me. He was set apart to do what? Here characterizes his ministry. to preach the gospel, the good news, the euangelion to the poor. Who are the poor? Yeah, people start thinking, oh, that's just people don't have any money. No. That's anybody that is without the Lord is in poverty. You can not have a dime to your name and be the richest person that has ever been because you have heaven as your eternal glory. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to say, you're out of jail. How many of you have gotten your get out of jail free card from the Lord? Yes, sir. He has sent me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. Once I was blind, but now, wow, I can see. This life is a new life in Him. And to set free those who are oppressed. Man, is there a spirit of oppression on the streets of our cities today that need deliverance, that need the proclamation that Jesus will set you free? And to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. And all eyes were on him in the synagogue. Who was sitting there? Who was there with him? Rabbis that he had grown up with, had known him all of his life. They were looking at him, wondering. Now remember, he comes in to Nazareth with great favor. Look at what happens. All eyes are fixed on him. And he began to say, today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Uh-oh. Wait a second. Today it's fulfilled. What are you saying, Jesus? 22. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. Imagine that. I think on the walk to on the road to Emmaus, the words that were falling over his lips to Cleopas and the other disciple. You know, the words that were just coming forth from him. You know, that they were a sweet savor. Is this not Joseph's son? His earthly dad? He said to them, no doubt, you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. The reputation already the things that have been accomplished. And he's already anticipating because he's feeling the questions are already going on about his identity. Because you know, all questions in life, all questions in the world get back to one principal truth in the world today. And that principal truth is this. The identity of Jesus. Everything, world politics, is hinging on that axis today. The identity of Jesus. Is he the Son of God or is he not? Is he all that he claimed to be or not? Is he Messiah or not? Is he, yes, Yeshua HaMashiach, or is he the Son of Yahweh, the Father, or not? And he said, truly I say to you, the prophet is not welcome in his hometown. He's anticipating. He already sees what's in their hearts. But I say to you, there are many widows in, and he goes back to an Old Testament example. There are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was there, was sent to none of them, but only the widow at Zarephath. Do you remember her? In the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And what happened there when Elijah came to her house? Anybody remember? Huh? Her oil doesn't run out, her olive oil that she's using, and what else doesn't run out? Her flour. Every day she goes in there to get more. As long as the prophet is staying with her, she and her son are being fed. It's a miracle. But are we surprised at the God who can speak this world into existence? That he can do that? This is chump change for God. But get Jesus' point. There were many widows in Israel who were not ready to receive the prophet. But this widow received the prophet into her home in faith. And what happened? And what happened? Did God honor her faith? You better believe he did. And he goes to another example. He says, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. What happened to Naaman? What? That's right. He's delivered. God did a miracle in his life. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage because they misunderstood what Jesus was saying? No, they weren't mad with him because they misunderstood. They were angry because they understood exactly what he was saying. As he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your presence. Because what was he saying? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the Messiah. And they got up and drove him out of the city. Nice welcome back home for Jesus, isn't it? They led him out to the brow of the hill. And it was customary to push him over the brow of the hill and to throw stones at them and to stone them to death. They were getting ready to do that. But the scripture says, and passing through their midst, he went his way. Here's a mystery here. How did he pass through their midst? It's one of those miraculous things. Jesus did this disappearing act many times in the gospel, where he would just pass through. Because you see, it wasn't his time yet. Who was in control of all this? That's right. He was in control, not them. We move on. So he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. He was teaching on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching. Okay? Is that similar to what we've heard so far? In Nazareth, they were amazed at his teaching, weren't they? Similar thing. And his message was with authority. He had authority, and they recognized that. Did he send a front man to go before him that would say, oh, Jesus is coming, and you've got to believe what he says? Did he have this advertising campaign? What were they passing out flyers and business cards? Everybody knew about Jesus, you know, like some snake oil salesman going from town to town. Was that it? No, when he came, when he walked in the room, his presence exuded an authority that was there. That's something that we in the West do not have an appreciation of. That's something that we miss in the church in the West, that our brothers in a more Eastern-centered experience, particularly our Hebrew brothers and sisters in Yeshua, they understand that there's an authority. When he walked in the room, there was an authority that was there, that you just knew. The power of the Holy Spirit was, because you see, their lives were not just based on deduction like we in the West worship the mind and we forget the spirit of a man. And there's this authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice. Look at verse 34. Are you following me here? Okay, let us alone. Well, what had he done? What had he done that the demons would be crying out to him? What had he done? He showed up. He showed up. You see, when he talks about being the light of the world, all light has to happen with light is you turn it on. You turn the switch on. And what's darkness got to do? Ooh, darkness goes, and then what does the light reveal? All the roaches and the rats and all, psh, they run. They run. They're going everywhere. They can't stand the light. let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I mean, he doesn't have to say a thing to them. It's all self-indictment. They're proclaiming his identity. If you listen on the news today, and you hear people that are downing Christians, many times you hear a proclamation of the gospel. Because what they're saying against us actually shows, hey, this guy really does believe in Jesus and the power of God on his life. But Jesus rebuked him. He said, be quiet and come out of him. I doubt very seriously that he called in for a drum roll. And let's get the big fanfare. And then, boom, we're going to cast the demon out on cue. The bright lights, you know, kind of like Steve Martin in Leap of Faith, you know, when we're going to have the miracle. Are you ready for a miracle? All that stuff. It's just natural and real. Hey, be quiet. Get out. And what happens? He's quiet. And he gets out. When the demon had thrown him down, now, here's a little note. I'm not going to charge you anything extra for this. Remember what the devil was trying to do to Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple? What is he trying to do? Throw him down. What did the demon do to the man here? You give the devil control, what does he do? He throws you down. Throws you down so he can stomp on you. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about standing. And when the dust settles, we're going to be standing. Standing with him. And the demon came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them. Now, they're not picking up stones to stone him to death now. There's a different reaction at Capernaum than there was at Nazareth. They're amazed. And they began talking with one another, saying, what is this message? In other words, tell us more. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, they come out, and the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. See the comparison there? This is right at the outset. It's a throwdown. It's a conflict. Those who receive him, the blessings continue for them, even though all hell may be breaking loose around them. The blessings continue. All right, verse 38. He got up and he left the synagogue and he entered Simon's home. Now this is what I like to call a blessing that Simon did not ask for. That's a joke, and you'll get it when we read it. Maybe. And Simon's mother-in-law, that ought to be a cue right there, was suffering from a high fever. You got it. I'm glad where those timing ones come about. And Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. It doesn't say Simon asked him. And standing over her, I just want to see if y'all are listening. He rebuked the fever and it left her, and she immediately got up and sat over in the corner like the queen, and everybody came by and applauded her. Is that what it says? She got up and she began to wait on them, to serve them. Let me tell you, the miraculous things of God are not so, God doesn't give them so that we can sit around and soak it up and become some celebrity. He gives us the blessing so we can get back out into the battle and get on the line for him with power. Immediately that takes place. Well, I mean, that is a great verse of Scripture on servanthood.
Verse 40. While the sun was setting, those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. How'd they hear about it? It was like dominoes. That's right. They were using text back then. The text written on one another's forehead of what God had done. That word like that went like wildfire. And he was laying hands on each of them, and he was healing them. And demons also were coming out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. It wasn't time for them to speak all of that. You see, he's still in control. Verse 42. And when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. Here he is off by himself again. And the crowds were searching for him. And they came to him and they tried to keep him from going away from them. They had a good idea. "Oh, stay here with us." And he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent to for this purpose." And what did we see was his purpose? This message? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recover his sight to the blind, to set free those who have been oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." So he goes about doing that. Now, chapter 5. Now, it happened while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake at Gennesaret. He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. I can identify with this. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Now, what's Simon the fisherman going to tell him? "Man, we've been fishing all night. There's no fish out there." "Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing. But I'll do as you say, and I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed the nets, enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. What does that tell you about prayer? What does that tell you about giving up? What does that tell you about staying with it? What does that tell you about perseverance? What does that tell you about continuing to listen to God no matter what the circumstances are around you and no matter what your good ideas or what your past experience is? And even sometimes we're guilty of that in our prayers. We're praying according to our past experience, and God wants us to pray according to His present engulfing of our lives and the future that He has for us. Not praying in the past, but praying now in the Spirit and the power of God. That's what prayer needs to be. Listening to God. So they signaled their partners to get the other boat to come and help them. Get all the fish in. They came, they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. This is great. And when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet. Do you see? Jesus spoke a language Simon could understand. And a language of what? Stinking, smelly fish piled up before him. I mean, he's speaking his heart language. Man, we've never had anything like this before. He falls down at Jesus' feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Now listen closely to me." You may think the stuff you do every day, how can God use me? How can God do this? Jesus used a pile of smelly fish to bring a great theological truth to this man who needed him. I mean, this was a revival meeting. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." See, he is realizing who Jesus is. Do you get it? For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of the fish was taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching more fish," right? Stinking, smelly, dirty old men and women who need me to come into their lives and change them forever and transform them into brand new people and get them ready to spend eternity with me. Do you get it? Do you get it? When they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Do you realize that? Just had the greatest catch of his career and he leaves it. He leaves it. Because that very thing had become a sacrifice of praise to the Lord for him. And he left it all to follow the Master. And while he was at one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Stretched out his hand, he touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy fell from him. He ordered him to tell no one, "Go and show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as testimony to them." Here it is. He's completing. He is not doing away with all that went before. He is completing it, showing it, putting it all together. And he shows himself to the priest. And news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him, and he was healing their sicknesses. And Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness. Do you see this? He just vanished from their sight. And one day he was teaching. There were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Now, when it says the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing, what does that mean? It means that sometimes that power was not present. And when did we read was there a time when that power was not present? When he went back home to Nazareth. You remember there? Because there was no faith there. And that repulsed the Spirit of God. Do you get it? Do you get it? The power was there for him to perform healing, and some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of Jesus, but could find no way to bring him because of the crowd, just like Zacchaeus. And they went on the roof. Here are these guys who would not be denied, the man born of four, his friends, who wanted him to see Jesus, and they were willing to do anything to get him to Jesus. I want to ask you today, are you willing to do anything for the people that you love to come to Jesus? Anything. Are you willing to do that? So you get up on the roof, and they let him down through the tiles. Imagine that. Those tiles just separated right now. And this man is lowered. They had a plan. In the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus, and seeing their faith, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, when he says this, remember there's a key part of the story earlier. Who was gathered? Who did the scripture say was gathered there? There were scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees that had come from far and wide. They were checking him out. So when Jesus says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven," what has he essentially done? He has said by saying that, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God." They didn't like that. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, who's standing in front of them? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? But, so that you'll know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." I love the word immediately. And immediately he got up before them and he picked up what he had been lying on. Isn't that wonderful? You pick up what was your crutch. And he went home glorifying God. And they were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today. We have seen remarkable things today." And when it says all of them were struck, who was in the crowd? Scribes, Pharisees, legalists that had their eyes so close together. They were almost like one-eyed creatures. They were so close together. And they're all in amazement of what God had done. It was miraculous. Has that stopped? The greatest miracle, and Jesus said it in this story, the greatest miracle was not the healing of the man. That was a great miracle. But what was an even greater miracle? What was Jesus interested in for that man? He said, "Your sins are forgiven you," so that he could be with him forever. That's a miracle. How many of you have received a miracle from God? Bless God. I want you to see the whole. And all I did was read a chapter and a half of Scripture to you today. That's all I did. And God speaks through His Word. What's He spoken to you today? Quoting that song from Leap of Faith again. Are you ready for a miracle? Are you? Do you expect God to work? Today, we come to the time as we open the altar for you to respond to the Lord. You respond in your seats. You can respond out there. You can respond any other time. God works 24/7. But right now, at this moment in time, I'm asking you this question to respond to Him. First of all, are you expecting a miracle of salvation in the people's lives that are around you? Now, there are some of us sitting here that have already cashed it in on some people in our lives. We're saying they're too far gone for God to do anything in their lives. Is anybody too far gone? Remember that you thought you were too far gone one time? Put your hand up. And some people around you thought you were too far gone? Thanks be to God that He didn't think you were too far gone. That the love of Jesus reached through all that garbage of your past and reached down to the man, the woman that He had struck in His own image, that He wanted to recreate through the power of the shed blood of Jesus and fill you with His Spirit. We want to pray for those people today, especially the too far gone by the world's standards. And we want to pray for miracles. We want to pray for lame to walk, blind to see. Those, for God to just do miraculous things. For God to do things that are just out of the ordinary. But all with the purpose of focusing people's attention on Jesus. Would you pray that prayer with me right now? Let's pray together. Lord, we're coming to you. We're interceding for people in our lives today who have never claimed the name. And there are many, Lord. Some, Lord, that we've cashed it in on them in the past. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for doing that. Because your power reaches beyond anything and anyone. God, we're interceding for their salvation today. Lord, we're also praying for miracles to be done, physical miracles. Miracles of money, Lord. We've already heard it today, how God just has dropped things in on people that they weren't expecting. God, we're ready for the miraculous to take place. And we're praying for you to do that right now. And Lord, not just on our agenda with our little list of things that we put out there and say, well, God, if you're really working, you'll work through my list. Lord, save us today from our list and let us get on your list of what you want to do and the power you want to exhibit today. We're asking you to do that in Jesus' name. Come, Lord. Come now. The altar's open. There'll be those here ready to pray with you. If you've never received Jesus today, I ask you to come today and receive him into your life. I'm here ready to receive you today. This is your time. Time with the Lord.